Okay. In this shiur, I want to cover two topics I would like to cover. Firstly, if you, I mentioned that I would discuss this, if you walk into a bagel store and you see in front of you there's a line, there's 10 people in front of you. So what do? You go over to your close friend who's right towards the front of the line, and you say, while you buy your bagels, be so kind, buy, thank you, but while you buy your bagels, be so kind, and you'll buy another dozen bagels for me, right? That's the first question. Are you allowed to do something of that sort or not? You want to make a deposit in the bank. So when you're about to make a deposit in the bank, what you do is you approach your friend, right? You hand him, thank you, you hand him your deposit slip. He's all the way towards the front of the line. And he makes your deposit for you. Are you allowed to do something of that sort or not? No? Now, as we mentioned in all of the past shiurim, whenever you have this type of an issue, you need to look through Chazal and find sources. Is there anything wrong with doing something of that sort or not? No? So, where do you find in Chazal a concept that once a person is online, you're stuck, you need to let him go in front of you? Is there such a concept in Halakha or not? Now, I'll show you there is definitely such a concept. But let's see the first possible source for this type of idea. Take a look in Sanhedrin Daf Ches. In Sanhedrin Daf Ches, we start off with the following Gemara. Daf Ches in Sanhedrin. All right? It says as follows. The Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, Kakatan kigadol tishma'in. Right? Tishma'un. That you should listen. You have to listen to a big case or to a small case. Amar Reish Lakish. What does that mean? Sheyehei chavav alecha din shel pruta kedin shel meya. You need to take just as seriously a din Torah that's worth a couple of pennies, or a din Torah that's worth millions of dollars. The dayan has to take the two cases equally seriously, right? Okay. So the Gemara asks the question: what are you talking about? Lamai Hilchasa, regarding what is this halacha mentioned? Ilay Yunabe, that you need to put in the proper effort to be ma'ayin into the topic, imifsikate, to make the appropriate psak. Pshita, that's simple. I mean, if you have to rule on it in Torah, you need to rule the correct ruling. What's the difference? What the value is? You need to give the correct answer. Ella lagdime. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer, lagdime, which means to put one earlier, which means, let's say you have two dentaries that come to you, and one dentaire is worth $1 million, and the other dentaire is worth $10. Are you allowed to say, look, the $1 million dentaire is by far more important than the dentaire that's going to be for $10, right? So, what's the story? Can you say something of that sort or not? So the Gemara tells us, no, absolutely not. Once you're involved in a dentaire, that's it. You need to, once the dayan went and accepted a certain din Torah, you need to go and you need to paskin that din Torah. You don't have the right to push it off because you got that din Torah ready, so that's the one that you actually stuck with. Now, it's interesting, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tezvot in Choshen Mishpot, and the truth is that this is actually the Psak. It's interesting, there's a whole list of order of which din Torah you need to take first. If a dayan gets many different din Torahs, which one he should take first, which one is second, which is third. So I'll just give you a quick idea, and it's all based on this pasuk of kakotoin, kagodol, tishmon, right? All on this pasuk. So it says as follows. I'll read you the mechaba in Simon Tezvav v'choshen mishpat. Sora chadayin, what are you saying?
So again, more important ones go before
this. No, the Gemara says that you may not do that. You need to take them in the order that they came. And the reason why I'm reading this Gemara to you, because the Gemara seems to say clearly that there is a certain right in the Din Torah that came first. If the Din Torah came to you first, you need to accept that one first. So there seems to be a certain, you know, chashivis to the person that's in the tour, right? The tour is the line, right? Misha Mamit Atzmo Batur. And the one that's first online seems to have the right to hear his case first. Now, it's interesting, in Simon Tezvav and Shulchan Aruch, there are many exceptions to this rule. I'll read it to you. Zor hadayin sheyagdim lozen hadin shebo lefonav tchila. You need to go and you need to first deal with the question that came to you first. However, there are exceptions to the rule, right? There's a rule, but rules are made to be broken. When can the rule be broken? Number one, din shel talmid chacham. If you have a talmid chacham, come, he has a din Torah, what do? You say to the talmid chacham, you go first. Before
to give him the same thing, the turn in your line.
What's that? To turn the line, you have to, when there's the shuk, and everybody comes to do business, so you have to let the talmid chacham go first, and the reason is because it's bitul Torah, because but again, this is assuming he's going to make his few dollars, and once he's going to make his few dollars, he's going to go back to learn. He's just going to continue and use it as an excuse to keep on making more and more money. What's that?
Provided he didn't start a different thing also.
Right, right. No, but there's another question. The other question is, you have already a few of the din Torah started already, and after it started already, you need to know which to put the proper effort into to rule on that case first. So how do you deal with that question? So what it says over here is that firstly, there's no right to take one din Torah before another din Torah before another one. If you get it online, you take that one in that order. You dealt with that din Torah first, you have to rule on that din Torah first. That's what the Gemara tells us. Kakotain, kadgodel, tishmon, right? You gotta hear the big case, the little case, it makes no difference. But the exception to the rule is a Talmud Chacham, that was one exception to the rule. Now, it says, now the remote deals with what you mentioned. It says, V'im ha-Talmud Chacham ba'atzma lefnei ha-dayon ma'fuli poschi kvar b'din acha donen oisei tchila shlo yisvatel milamudo. If it's a case of a real bitul Torah, then you deal with the Talmud Chacham's case first, because he shouldn't have bitul Torah. The other case that we're discussing till now simply is that the Talmud Chacham would like to have his din Torah dealt with, to be done with it, because as long as he has on his mind his din Torah, he doesn't have the ability to properly invest his efforts into learning. Now, of course, the Sma has an interesting question, and the Sma says, what is going to happen when the Talmid Chacham is going to be the defendant rather than the plaintiff, right? He's going to be the Nitva rather than the Teveya. When is the Teveya? So he wants his money. He can't concentrate on his learning. He's busy running after Dayanim to get his money. But in the other situation, when somebody wants their money from the Talmud Chacham, then you might be better off pushing off his case, because, you know, as long as he has the money in his pocket, he can learn better. You understand? So it really goes, that's the smart, it's a big machloik, it's a big discussion on this specific question. But again, you do see from this simon and this gemara that there is a certain right and chashivas to a person that got online first is entitled to have his case heard first. Now, there are many, many more rules, right? I'll just read you the other rules quickly. For example, even before Talmid Chacham comes a Yosoim, Almona, Din Almona comes before Din Talmud Chacham, right? There are many. If there's a woman and a man comes to a Din Torah, who do you take first? The woman, right? Because it's Boishtei Merubah, it's more embarrassing for her to be in this situation, so you accept her case first. As I'm showing to you, there are different exceptions to the rule. It's interesting, I'll just note to you, there's a sefer written under the Shulchan Aruch, which is written by the Kesef HaKadoshim. The Kesef HaKadoshim was the Rav in a city called Bechach, and Rabbi Avram Bechach, that was what his name actually was. He wrote on Choshen Mishpat, he wrote Kesef HaKadoshim, on Ebenezer, he wrote Ezem Mikodesh, on the Erchaim, he wrote a sefer Eish Lavram, not the Eish Lavram, the Prima Godem, that's the second Eish Lavram, right? So he wrote many different beautiful svarim, and if you read his svarim, he always was very, he had like a very novel way of writing, like sort of he wrote the halakha with a touch of drush, you know, as you read his svarim, the beautiful, beautiful svarim, he was from the Gedolei HaPoskim. But he writes that how about if you have two din Torahs come to you, and one is a business matter, and one is a marital issue, a matrimonial issue. So he writes, you always take the matrimonial issue first. Why? Because there's a possibility that you can make shalom bayit, and if you can make peace between a husband and wife, that goes before any business issues. So you see that there are rules in order of taking of a line, and if there are no rules, then you take people in the proper order, but if there are exceptions, so then you go with those exceptions. I'll just read you the Kesef HaKadoshim, because it's very interesting. Kedimas mishpat sheba rishon nitcham epnei mishpat shalom ben zig. Ben Zug, right? Between the Shalom Bayis case. B'pchines ma'ashom ha'kosev, with the same concept of what the Pasuk tells us. B'ni orim l'tapchem, first build homes for your children. V'hod ha'gidus l'tzanachem, then you can build right? Fences for your animals. So which means first deal with the matrimonial issues, then deal with the business issues. That's what he writes. And he says, "V'im mechitzas bali hamashpotim shavla zilazeh yesh lahagdim bein hazug im kvashamu bein hamashpotim." But in any event, I'm just showing you the basic order of what happens when two people come to a din Torah. No, so now I ask all of you: can we bring any proof from this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, this Simon Shulchan Aruch Simon Tezvav, that if a person is online, you're not allowed to cut the line? Is there a proof? Well, not necessarily so. There's really no proof from this Gemara or from this Siman Shulchan Aruch. Why is there truthfully no proof? Because it could very well be that once a person is online first, he has no entitlement to anything. However, these halachot are specifically given to the dayan that he need this. You want to be a dayan? The Torah tells you this is the way that you specifically should deal in your courtroom. In other words, kakotain kagodol tishmoyin is a rule that's limited to the dayan. Who says that everybody else is bound by these rules? And the truth is, there's no proof to that. What?
Very good, but it's such a thing as minhaga medina.
Mm-hmm.
So minhaga medina, you see people cut out, it's going to cause friction. It's
right.
Cause
right. The machloket, there'll be a fight, right?
There'll be a fight, Chil Hashem also.
Right.
So what do you mm-hmm. That's already
100%.
Different aspect.
So you make a very good argument, but I want to. It would be better for me to find a source in Chazal, and that will be even greater because then I'll say no. The halacha is you have no right. I'll give you an example. What happens when you have a safek, right? So if I'm dealing with a safek deraisa, safek derabanan, safek minik. So the truth is that we always need to go to the source. You make a very, very good point. Of course, it will not help for Chilul Hashem. It's no question about it. But I want to go. I will show you that Bezat Hashem, we can find an actual source in a Gemara that actually deals with this question. But I just want to point out, this could have been the first source, but this source is not a true raya because we can always say that this is talking about the rules that the dayan is governed by in his courtroom. So there's no true proof from this question. Okay, now, what can possibly be the appropriate proof? We'll stick to Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, where suddenly we find a concept called time is money, right? You ever heard the concept of time is money, right? Let's see what it is. You know what the Chafetz Chaim once said? The Chafetz Chaim once said that if a person wants to buy a certain luxury, he needs to make money. If he needs to make money, he needs to work, he needs to invest time. He says, so the reality is, the Chafetz Chaim said that every time a person would like to make a certain purchase, he has to realize that in order for me to make this purchase, I need to spend this amount of money, which means I need to give away this amount of time. But the Chafetz Chaim is to say, before a person wants to buy a luxury, he should figure out, okay, this luxury is worth 400 hours of Torah. Should I get this luxury or not get this luxury? Yeah? What the Chafetz Chaim is to say. The Chafetz Chaim truthfully lived his life this way. I mean, if you tell you, anybody reads any stories about the Chafetz Chaim, it wasn't just lip service. That's how he lived. So, let's see an actual Gemara that deals with this question. Lamed Beis, Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara tells us as follows, many different limudim that we learn out from the Pasuk, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdoy. Alright, okay, Tzedek, Kamba, Dimurum, Kamba, Dimurum, fine. Now the Gemara says as follows, Revashi Yoma, Masnissen, Kedishon, Kroy, Echad Ludin, Ve Echad Abshor. Okay, there's two times, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdoy, one is telling us Din, and one is telling us Pshara. So again, suddenly we have a pasuk in the Torah that tells us that you need to be able to make a pshara once in a while. Kidatanya, like we learned. Shtei ketzad. Okay, kidatanya. Ketzad. What's the example? Shtei svinois oivres banor. You have two boats try to pass each other in the ocean. And they come to a point in the ocean where it's a narrow passageway, and only one of the two boats can pass at the same time. Which boat passes first? Right, that's the question the Gemara says. Ipogo ze beze. Im oivis shtein shteim, if the two will both go at the same time, right? Tevas, bezechas, tevas, then they're going to sink, right? It's like the two cars that get to us, right? There'll be a collision. But the two people want to both pass at the same time. Somebody once told me that he drove Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in a car, and he was trying to pass a bus, right? You want to tell you a story? I tell you the story? Yes, Rabbi Yaakov said that you can't pass a bus because a bus is a rabbin, and you're a yochid. A yochid doesn't go before a rabbin. That was how, that was Rabbi Yaakov's view. So two boats are going together in the water, and they hit the same point, so, and they can't pass because it's suddenly there's a small canal, right? They're going through the Panama Canal. They have to go to one of those, points where it's only single file, one boat at a time. Who goes first? So he says as follows: Im olu shneim shneim noifum. Or another case, the Gemara brings down shnei gemalim. You have two gemalim shayoilim b'ma'alot beit charon. Right? They're going up on the steps, and like you know, you just came back from Eretz Yisrael. You know, you take a bus ride sometime on the side of the mountain, and you wonder how the bus has space to stay there. And when two buses pass, you know, at the same time, you take a deep breath. You know what I'm talking about when you go up north to those different areas. And what happens? And shnei gemalim shayoilim b'ma'alot beit charon ipogad b'zeh. Im olu shneim shneim, the two will use the steps at the same time. Noifum b'zeh hazeh shneim olim. Okay, so now you have to make a pshara. So the Gemara just told us that pshara is a mitzvah deraisa. What is pshara? Pshara means when you have an issue, who goes first online? Okay, so t'ina v'she'ena t'ina t'itcha she'ena t'ina t'itcha she'ena t'ina v'nei t'ina k'roi, right? K'roi v'she'ena k'roi v'titcha k'roi v'she'ena k'roi, which means sometimes there are certain circumstances, for example, that one has a heavier load, so you take off the heavy, let the heavier, the one with the heavier load go first. Oh, you're staying, Kroivis, staying, Chaykis, right? Well, how about the other choice is, see who got there first, right? Forget about the heavier load. Who got there first is the next question. And what's the next option? Hatul Pshara Beinayin. So you say, you know what? You both got it at the same time. Let's make a Pshara. Imalois Tzchar Zu Lazu. What do you do? You say, you can go first, but I have to wait. I'm going to lose $5. Time is money. Give me $5. And that's it. So suddenly you see a clear Gemara with a source that when a person got somewhere online, that person automatically has the right to remain first. So now we have the ability to understand the sugya very well, because since the concept of this sugya works,
is one's ahead of the other.
No, one got ahead, he's entitled to go first. That's number one.
They're both there at the same time.
Both got there at the same time, so you got to make a pshara. But you see clearly that one got there first, and there are no external factors, for example, one has a very heavy load, to say that this one goes first, or maybe that case with the bus in the back of Kamenetsky, you can say that since the bus is a rabbin, so it's irrelevant who got there first. You should give the bus the decency to go first, because that's like the first case in the Gemara, that one has a heavy load, one doesn't have a heavy load. But if that doesn't exist, it's just two people that walk into a bagel shop and walk up to the front of the line, and they both try to get their bagels, so the person that got there first is entitled to get his bagels first. And you can't go and cut the line. And if you do cut the line, the truth is the poskim, right? You owe him money like a poil bottle, right? And I'll take this a step further. If you cut the line when there are 10 people online, you owe 10 people the money. Now, if you go over to the person that's at the front of the line and you say, can you please be so kind as to let me go in front of you, he has absolutely no right to let you go in front of him because there are 9 people behind him. He doesn't own the time of the 9 people behind him. And truthfully speaking, you need to turn around and ask every single person along the way that he should give you permission,
but
right?
Behind him, that's okay. It's going to be the same thing.
You see 9 people online.
No, but you're behind that guy. You want, can I go before that?
What? Oh, yeah. Then it's no problem. I agree, 100%. But when you walk in as an outsider, where does this really come up? I see this all the time. You see a person walks into a supermarket, and he sees a few people with big shopping carts, and he just has a soda, he wants the papers, one soda. So you turn to the person behind you and say, would you mind, I have just one item, right? Or the opposite sometimes. Sometimes you see a person in front of you and you want to offer, you say, listen, you have just one item, why don't you go in front of me? So if you are the one in line and there's nobody behind you, it's a very nice thing to offer. But if there are a whole bunch of people behind you, what right do you have to offer? Okay, now, the truth is sometimes you have to even be careful, because very often when you ask the person if you can go in front of him after he's waiting over there for 10 minutes already, it's like the beginning of a sudashena mishpekas labailo. You know, he's embarrassed to say no. You have to know every situation differently. Usually if he gives you, if you can ask him gently, you can ask him in a way which gives him the eye. You say, look, are you in a rush? I happen to be in a rush. If he says he's in a rush, then you don't go. But you see, suddenly there's a right, and if you're over on this right, you have the obligation to pay. And the Aruch HaShulchan points out another point. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that let's say you don't wait your turn on line, and you cut the line, and now you owe every single person for a couple of seconds, it's less than a Shavah Pruta. And it's less than a Shavah Pruta, you can't really repay the people. And if they don't forgive you, which they probably don't, if you hear them muttering under the breath what the nice things they have to say about you, so then what? So then there's no way to have a kapara, because you can't do that. Like that case, right, we discussed, if you ask forgiveness, of course. Remember we had that Pesach Tshuva. But if you don't have forgiveness, and at the same time, you don't have you don't do a Heshek Zela, you can't really repay it. So it's a serious issue. Now, the Meiri...
Where did you read that?
It says Kroivis and Rechaikis, see?
Kroivis is, what does it have to do with?
How you stay in Kroivis if the two are close?
Kroivis to the town. They have the entitled because they are closer to the town.
So you say from here is actually no right, because it's right. Kroivis and Rechaikis are close to the town. What does Rashi say? Let's read Rashi here.
Here it seems also that...
Because both are on their way into the city. From here there's no true raya. The way you see clearly that there is an order is because the Gemara says that two people got to an impasse and they're both trying to pass. This is how the Paiskim HaMadayik. Two people get to a point. The two of them are both trying to pass. If the two are both trying to pass, so you have to make a pshara. But if one got there first, there's no pshara, then there's a right already. That's the point.
Yeah, but I don't see how do you see that.
Why not? See, again, let's go slow. You have shtei sfinis oivis beno upogi ze beze. Im oivis shteyen toivis, right? Toivis, then they're going to sink. Beze achaze, if the two pass one after the other, shteyen oivis. If you take out a shulchan aruch, Reish Ayin Beis. We don't have a Chayish Meshpat Gimel here. In Reish Ayin Beis, there is an order of Priket Ina. If you don't mind, it's a Chayla Gimel. I think in the Shulchan Aruch, it does actually go in this order. We'll take a look in the Shulchan Aruch once he has it. But you want to say that what? Shtein Tav Jil Zeh Zeh, what's that? Kroi Vilei. You see, because Rashi is clover the ears, so you say there's no real proof. But again, the way that they learn the proof from this sugi is...
From here I can say the opposite. This
that's
guy
what?
Jumped a gun and he's passed, so then we don't need Shara, we don't need anything. Here these guys are sitting and fighting, mm-hmm. So we're going to have to... But if you can
but again,
avoid the fighting by you sneaking in first...
That's called Alan Gvar. The way I saw in quite a few of the Achronim, that the proof is that you see that the only pshara is because they can't both pass at the same time. But if you had a situation...
Here it seems like also the wait that they have to load, the way Rashi is explaining that they have to wait a very long time. It's not like...
Okay, let's read the Shulchan Aruch here, one second. Okay.
What about a goy? Matter if it's a boy?
Very good question. If you learn the way we're understanding that it's a right and it's possible Geneva, so Geneva Sakh would be awesome. That's what the Pais can write. That if you're dealing with something which is a shadow of Geneva, then we learned you can give the Hanaitz with a good, but Geneva there's no heta. Okay, that was Pshorah, whoever's having the hardest time. Shtei svinois ha'ovus ipogu ze zu bezu im shtein ovus bebas achas shtein tovus im bezu achazu ovus. Find the exact same lotion as here. The im ovus shtein bebas achas neufen im zechas ha'olam keitzat heim oisen teina v'sheina teina. Right is choice number one. Titcha sheina teina v'nei teina. Fine. Kroiv v'rochoike titcha kroiv meir sheina kroiv shtein rochoike the shein kroiv. Ha'ol v'kulan v'doichig. Fine, but I hear what you're saying. But the point is, what the Paskim all learning from here is that you see that when you have a situation where there are two people trying to get through. Let me just say the point which they're learning from here. Two people are trying to get through, and there's one overriding factor why one should get it over the other. That one goes first, and we had a whole bunch of overriding factors. One thing is clear, and that is that if you got there first and you're online first, So then there's a clear overriding fact that you're entitled to go first. But then you're there already. There's no pshara. Then I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're trying to argue.
This guy is coming now. He has tons of loads. So
the truth is, you make a good point. I'll tell you. So 5 minutes. No. He makes a very good point.
He's making it from Shvara, but not from the.
No. He's 100% right. The Meiri says what you said. No. Good. I want to get to that. The Meiri really says what you said. Let me tell you how the Meiri says what you said. The Meiri says that you see from this Gemara that if you have a situation where a person is a chole, and the chole comes to the line, or an old man comes to the line, you see he can actually cut the line. So you're 100% right. There are times where there will actually be an overriding factor online. I agree with you 100%. But how about when there's no overriding factor? That's what I'm trying to establish.
I only have one milk, and you guys have a whole container thing, so...
Is that an overriding factor? That's your svara. I mean, you have to have a proof that that's an overriding...
svara also.
Because the Meiri says clearly, the Meiri says that a chaylo zokin is an overriding factor. You understand what I'm saying? Look, you see clearly from the Gemara that there is you need to come up with a good reason why you should go first. So you're trying to argue, you're saying, look, I have to go play tennis. It's also a good reason. You know what I'm saying? It's ain't l'dov asoif once you're going to work with that. Unless you're clear that you have a real overriding reason to the other person. For example, a person's old or sick, right? Elderly or infirm, whatever the reason is, you can't go first. But your point is well accepted. But that's the way they explain it. You're right. Not from Krovis and Rechoikis, but rather from the fact that you need to come on to a specific reason to go first. And if a person is first online, so then you don't have to come on to a pshara. The seichel and the pshara, right? The tzedek tier there clearly is. And if I came here first, that's my time. And I'm entitled to it first. That's
so
the way.
You don't need Gmana for this.
What's that?
You don't need Gmana for this. This is just logic.
No.
You don't need
no, but the Gemara is telling us.
What is the Gemara telling you?
That from tzedek tirdoiv. Yeah. Fine, you want to say it's a svara, but now we know that tzedek tirdoiv is mechayiv us to work with this logic. And the nafkaminis will be a safik deraisa if you don't know what the logic is. So when you, and I'll get to it soon. Tzedek tirdoiv tells you that it's a pasuk, and it's now it's the Torah is mechayiv you to think this way. That makes a very big difference, because we'll have certain cases. And if not, you're taking away from the other person the Bishal of Genevis. I can possibly, you understand, it's important to establish the Yisoid where this halacha comes from.
I was in an airport a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And they canceled three flights, the airport closed. There was
Everybody
a rush
dashes,
to the
right?
people
yeah.
At the line. Uh-huh. If you didn't cut the line, who knows when you're going to, what plane they're going to reschedule you on.
Then the other person's also going to get rescheduled.
Okay,
who
but
knows
you know,
when,
that's
yeah.
so, are they, are the you know,
I want to get to that. One second. The truth is, it's very important for me to get into this topic because I want to talk about the lines and then I want to talk about saving seats, right? You go to a shir, you go to a concert, you get into a bus, you want to save another seat for another person. Also an important discussion. Go ahead. Yeah. And what happens?
What if the person in the back of the line is a Tamid Chachad? Is he able to cut the line?
The price came right. That if it's, see, I want to tell you something very interesting. In Simon Tezvav, where I told you that when there's a Talmud Chacham, his din Torah goes first, the Pesach Teshuva brings a long list of poskim that say that Talmud Chacham doesn't exist anymore today. So when you try to use the excuse of a Talmud Chacham, you have to be very careful because there are many halachot that apply to Talmud Chacham. If you insult him, you have to give a literal dahava, right? You remember all these gemaras about what... Most people today has to be a person who shalim oto b'chol makom, and he answers the question every single time. There are very few Talmid Chachamim today, and in the time of the Bet Yosef already, there was a whole discussion if there is a true Talmud Chacham left in the world. And the Sma brings down that today we don't have this type of Talmud Chacham to be marked in his din Torah. So before a person uses that svara for himself, that he's a Talmud Chacham to cut the line, you got to be very, very careful. I mean, it's not a good idea. But the poskim do write that when you have a situation with a sort of an umdana that everybody's going to agree that you see a certain great Rosh Hashiva, a great Chacham, a great a rabbi who's passing by, and you know universally everybody will be automatically mochel, then it's fine. That's what they write, but you know...
Rav Palm wouldn't go.
I remember clearly Rav Palm.
We
had it on when we were children. We would be in line to buy our bag of potato chips in the grocery store. We would offer them to go first, and he would refuse. he would wait his turn. Whatever we were getting, the few items, and we couldn't decide what we were getting, he would wait till the end of the line. He would never, ever cut the line. But that was Midas. That was his Midas that he was trying to prove. In any event, okay, let's go a step further. But it's a very, very good point, but let's move on over here. The Meiri I mentioned, but the bottom line is that you see that when people are on the same level and on the same playing field, that person definitely is entitled to go first. Okay, now another point I mentioned, that there's no difference between a yid and a goy, because this it could be gezel. Another halacha. One thing is clear, and that is that the balabayas himself has the right to cut the line for a person. For example, I'm a doctor, and I have people coming to see me. I see my good friend from the Beit Midrash walked in. So what do? I call him in first. Now, the people on the line don't have a right to decide who should go first. It's the person who's providing the services that has that right. So the doctor definitely has a right to say, okay, I'm going to call you first. But let me tell you where you have to be very careful. It's only the owner of the establishment that has the right to tell the people who goes first and who does not go first. So let's say you have a person that works for the establishment that doesn't have that right. And that person goes and changes the order. For example, you use a certain doctor. So you know that you need service by the doctor, right? So what do? So when it comes to the holiday season, so you go to the secretary, you give them a box of chocolates, and whatever you have to do, in order that when you call, they should put you first online. You have to know the situation. If the doctor, the owner of the establishment, never gave permission to that specific person to do that, then you really don't get a name, right? So you're in a certain... What do you say?
Why does the owner have the right to pull somebody ahead?
Because the Torah only restricted his service. The Torah restricted the dayan, we've learned, right? I said, there's one case the Torah said, kakotin kagol tishmin, that the dayan needs to give services in order that they came to him.
A dayan can't refuse services.
A dayan that's a public dayan in a city can't refuse services. Exactly. In the Gemara's dayanim, today you could technically refuse a service, because today you're not, that was only a dayan demasa. Today we're not public servants. Today the dayan is a private entity, so today he could. But historically, in the time of the Gemara, or till a couple hundred years ago, when every community had its one bezdin, could not refuse a service. There's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, what do you do when Adam Alam walks into a bezdin? And you know he's dangerous. And the dayanim don't want to take the case. So historically they had no choice. Even with Sakonas Nefoshis, there were all kinds of discussions on how to deal with it. Today, you can technically refuse it, even though it says that you shouldn't. Because the Torah says, Lo'isagir m'pnei ish, don't be afraid of anybody. So you really shouldn't refuse the case. But you're 100% right. The dayan has obligations to accept these cases. The doctor doesn't have to. The doctor has to for different reasons, but any person today is not mechuyev to give his services to people. And since you're supplying services, you're really allowed to go and switch around the way you would like to do it. Now, next situation. In any event, the only thing I wanted to point out that once you see that it's a suffix deraisa, so therefore, since it's a suffix deraisa, it makes this shaila much more chamadik. The shaila which I'd very much like to discuss is the shaila of. Okay, good. The shaila which I very much want to discuss is the shaila of saving another person a seat. No, what would you say to this question? Are you allowed to save another person a seat by a shear? Can you save another person a seat in the Beis Medrash, right? You get onto a bus, right? You get onto a bus, you went with a whole group to Yisrael, and as you're there, you want to have the seats next to you. Are you allowed to do that or not? So let's first break this halacha into two situations. There's one situation for services that you get free, and there's one situation for services that you have to pay for. Let's first talk about the most chomadigah situation with the chol hadayis, you can't save another person a seat. And that is when you have to pay for the service. For example, you get onto a bus. Every person needs to pay for his seat. You go to a concert. Every person needs to pay for his seat. Or, for example, there's a shear. In order to get into that shear, you need to pay for your seat.
You don't have to pay.
Oh, well, that's going to be the next discussion. Let's go one thing at a time. I want to go from Michoima Elakav. That's how I would like to do it, because this we need to understand this halacha well. There's a Gemara of Masih, which is worthwhile to go through. If we'll have time, we'll go through that too. So we go Michoima Elakav. When you have a situation when you have to pay for a service, you can't reserve a seat for another person. Why? What's the lumdus? How come you're allowed to reserve a seat from another person? It's a concept in the Gemara. What's the concept? Mid zochi lenafshe, zochi nami lechaver. Right? Hamagbiya matsiya lechaveroi mid zochi lenafshe. Since you can be kind for yourself, so kind of, you can also be kind for your friend. So you see a seat, you take your bag, you put it on that seat, and you kind of that seat on behalf of your friend. But there's a problem. What happens when you don't have the ability to be kind of the second item for yourself? Why? Because you have to pay for it. And you only paid for one. So you have no right to be zoichet for your friend. So first of all, as a general rule, anything which you need to pay for in order to acquire, you don't have the ability to take for somebody else. You only have the ability to take one. So if you go into a concert, you have to pay for. Or if you go into a shir, you have to pay for. You get onto a bus, you have to pay for your seat.
Paying for his seat.
When he gets onto the bus.
Okay, so he's coming in 10 minutes.
Fine, but how can I be zoichet? What gives me the right to save it for you that you should sit next to me and not some other person?
If somebody comes and he wants to fight, then I'll take it. But right now, what is still am I making by making sure that nobody sits here?
It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you.
So what?
You black the seat. You black the seat.
I put my bag in here.
Yeah.
Now
a person walks by and says, can you pick up your bag? And you say, no, it's for my friend.
It's for my friend. So he says, no, I want to sit here. So if he insists, don't let him sit here. If he doesn't insist, let him go somewhere else.
One second. What right do you have to block another person from sitting in a place that does not belong to you? Doesn't belong to you. You want, the law is when you get onto a bus or onto a train, only one seat belongs to you, not two.
So
what right do you have to block another person? If you make some form of a kinyan that belongs to your friend, if you're zoichir on behalf of your friend, let's talk about the situation when you there's something which you it's a big concert in the park.
He doesn't mind.
Who doesn't mind?
The person. He
does mind because he asked you for the seat and you told him to sit in the back. Of course
but
he minds.
No other
seats is even more difficult than the shayin, right? We'll talk about that next. That might be an issue
even.
He has to sit in the back of the bus. He doesn't want to sit in the back. He wants to sit in the front. He wants to have a nice view. He wants to have a seat towards the front of the shir that he can hear the shir well. Right, he can participate. You can't say that.
So
but
I'm gozel him.
You took something that doesn't belong to you, and you makev that a person that wanted to be zoichasam from Hefka, not from Hefka, that he wanted to pay for it, he couldn't buy it. I mean, again, you want to start dissecting who you're stealing from and it doesn't belong to you, and you're blocking someone from purchasing something. You have no right to do that.
If your friend says, save me a seat, can you do it then?
No. If you have to pay for it, the concept of taking it in order to give to another person works with the concept and if you can't be zoichet for yourself because you need to pay for two, then it doesn't work. Oh, so that's a very good question. He's tying now a new angle. He's saying, let's say sometimes you have concerts lately where everybody purchases the tickets beforehand and then first comes first served in the seats. You know, he paid for it. But on the other hand, you have to now come and you have to grab a seat. So there, I can hear it already. There's a pretty good svara because you can say you paid for your seat already, and he paid for a seat already. But now, there's a certain amount of seats, and the seats I have, Chris, and I can say you can be kind for another person. That's very logical. That's very fair to say. That I'll agree with. What's that?
If someone gets onto the train, and he knows his friend is getting on the next stop,
yeah.
His friend already went through the turnstile, told him on his cell phone. That's
the same concept he's saying. Okay, but once then we'll have to discuss soon what happens when there are no other seats available. That's going to be the next discussion. Fine. So now let's talk about something which you have a situation where you actually went and you don't have to pay for it, right? You don't have to pay for it. It's for free, or like you both said, it was paid for already. So now you get into a very interesting discussion. And what's the issue? The issue is if there's going to be other seats available, then there's no shaila, you're definitely allowed to do it. But what happens when there will not be other seats available? So what is this going to be? This is suddenly going to become a situation with chav liachrini. Can you be zochen la'odom Shaloi Befonov when it's Chav Liachrini? That's what the question is going to be. So let me read a Mishnah to you. What's that?
Every Zocher is Chav Liachrini.
Like the Rishonim, Ramban and Tosfos. Let me show you. It's so simple. Come, take a look. Bava Metzia, Daf Yud, what a Gemara. Exactly this point. It's a very, very important point, and a lot of places can say that based on this point, we'll be able to define what's going to be the halacha in this case when you don't have to pay, but there won't be a seat available for the other person. So let me show you how do you define it. The Mishnah tells us Daf Yud and Aleph and Bava Metzia. Rosh Hametzia. You see a Metzia. V'nafal alei ba'acha v'hichsik ba. Okay, zesh hirzav azochav. Fine. Then the Gemara says that arba amos shalodim is koydeloy. Right? That's what the Gemara brings down afterwards. Now the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says hamagbia mitzvah. The Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan. 1 second, a few lines down. Here we go. Yeah, hamagbia. Metzia lechaveroi, koni, right? If a person goes and he picks up a metzia for his friend, so he's koin it on behalf of his friend, right? You pick up a metzia to your friend. 1 second, Kili, Israel. Right before the Mishnah, three lines above the Mishnah. Omer Reb Chiya bar Rabban Reb Yochanan, hamagbia metzia lechaveroi, koni chaveroi, right? That's what he writes. So, Taisvis asked the question. You went and you saw a Metzia. It belongs to nobody. It doesn't cost anything. You pick it up on behalf of your friend. You coin it for your friend. So Taisvis says, how does that work? Right? L'choyre, it's Chav, L'achrini. Right? Good question. So Taisvis, Om Rabbi Yochanan, B'im Metzia L'chaver, K'on L'chaver, V'af Al-Gav, D'Islay L'Rabbi Yochanan, B'Perik HaKoysev, B'Perik HaMedigitin, Hatoyfez lebalchoyv loikoni, which means Reuven owes money to Shimon. Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Reuven owes money to Levi. He owes money to two people. You see that suddenly Reuven has $100. So what do? You grab it for your friend Levi. So what's the halacha? Levi's not koina. Why is Levi not koina? Because it was chav. Cheshimen, Cheshimen was also right. It was Toifes lebachoyv, right? B'mokum shechav lachem. So dafke heche de leishayich migi de zochel lanafshei de ein aloy v'chayiv klum le Toifes. Avo b'metziyah de ikem migi kona. Exactly what you just said. Because here you can take it for yourself.
What's the migo?
What's that? Migi de zochel lanafshei, because he owed you money too. Migi de zochel lanafshei zochel avin lechavre, right? Okay, now what's that say? Zokt. That is the opinion of Toifes. I'll just quickly, we're running out of time, I'll quickly tell you the opinion of the Ramban, the Ran, and you'll hear a tremendous machloikis, which we'll be able to now apply to our case. The Ramban says no. What does it mean, chav lachrinu? Chav lachrinu means when the other person has a shaykhis to that issue, which means Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Levi, and Yehuda, so regarding these people, it's chav. The Ramban says, in our case over here, there's no chav. Because when I pick up a metziah and I give it to a certain person, so, oh, it's chav, somebody else 1,000 miles away could have also picked up that metziah. What shaykhus does somebody else have to that metziah? He has no connection to it. The Ramban learned that in order for a situation to be chav le'achrini, the achrini has to have a reason why he feels it should come to him. He has to have a certain tviya, a certain shaykhus, where if not for him, he would have received it. You understand? That is the achrini. But if the achrini is... What's that? No. He has to have a certain tefillah.
Or something.
Bachoy, exactly. Awesome. Yeah, he has to have a reason that he's a party to this.
He says the question doesn't begin.
Was it bachoy would be good?
Very good. So here the question is... So that's what the Ramban's answer is. The Magbiyah Metziah, he wasn't a bachoy. Exactly Ramban's answer. There's no Bachayim. Metziah is Hefka. Finish. Anybody? There's no person that has a Tviya on Hefka.
Metziah.
Okay. Now.
So it's applied to us.
What's that?
Wait. So both Tosfot and Ramban will agree that you...
Slow down. Wait 1 second. So now, here's the question. A lot of Poskim want to say, and again, I'm not saying this is not debated, but I've seen a lot of Poskim that want to say that in our situation as follows. When you have a case where you don't have to pay for the seat, so if you don't have to pay for the seat, anybody can go and be kind to his friend. on one hand, you say, mid zochi l'nafshe, zochanam l'chavrei. You can't really say that because the way a lot of these situations are set up, you can't be zoicha two seats for yourself because you're only going to sit in one seat. You're not going to sit in the concert in two seats. So how could you say mid zochi l'nafshe, zochanam l'chavrei?
You're on a plane.
One second. But if you learn that the chasorin is because it's not chavli achrini like the Ramban, because there's no chasorin because the person has no tviya to it, so then according to that line of thought, there's no problem because any person can come in. Listen, I'm not saying it's not debatable, but a lot of poskim want to say as follows. They want to say that when you have a situation where there are other seats available, then you definitely could be koina. But when you have a situation where there are no other seats available, so it's going to be totally in this interpretation of the Ramban and Tosfos. And if you learn like Tosfos, since you can't say midazoch l'nafshe, zochanam l'chavre, you can't do it. But if you learn that it's not chav l'achrini the way the Ramban understood it, so then you could be koina for others. And it ends up taka being a machlokes rishonim. No, savik derais l'chumra. No, what are you saying? Huh? It stops already. 5 to 9 already. 5 to 10. No. What do you want to say? You're on a plane, and?
No, you're on a plane.
Right.
They give you assigned seats. There's one row that's empty. Can you go and take that row for yourself so you can lay down and stretch?
It's a good question. Why not?
It's a good question. Somebody
else don't want to come and take it also.
But it doesn't belong to you. You didn't do anything. Everybody had the same right to it, so you took it.
But what about your medicine? Right. Seats, box seats, and it's empty. Could you go there?
Do you have a question? That maybe else. The owner of the establishment is makpid, you shouldn't use it.
What about in the plane? But you have to pay more for better seats.
What's that?
Then they charge you more.
No, that's a different issue. Sometimes they specifically don't want the establishment. For example, if you're on a flight and the whole business class is empty. Right? They will not let you sit in those seats because they want you only to use those seats if you pay for it. So there the establishment is makbid that you shouldn't use it. So there I can hear it. But in our case, just to go back to our discussion over here, when you do have the ability to use one of those seats, right? When you clearly have, there's not enough seats. And what do you want to do? You want to make a kinyan to acquire more than one seat. What gives you a right to acquire more than one seat? Midazach and nafshe. Zochanam le'achrina. Mid zochel le'nafshe, zochanam le'achrini. When it's chav la'achirim, the Gemara says you can't do it. Right? Machloikis, Tosfos, Ramban. This specific question. So, I can hear where you can debate this svara. It's just something very interesting to think about. And Bepash is when there is no other seat, you definitely should be machloikis, because that's what most Rishonim and Mechaber passes away. When there's no other seat of